January 29th.
Is that right?
2005. At 9:27 p.m.
Oh my goodness.
And we have the artist.
And the kite hawker on the beach is about to come out. I went over to Solid Sound, which is the old studio that we used to record at with Phil Bonet, and I met with this guy named Mike Riley to do the mastering for it. And it was weird going back to Solid after about, I probably hadn't been there since like 97 when we did the Jet Propulsion album. So that was kind of cool. Going back there, but kind of strange too, because Phil wasn't there anymore. But,
what's on the new record, Dan? What's it sound like? What's it all about? What's the theme?
It's Nine on Bali. And what happened was, I ended up buying some recording equipment like a lot of people, you know, went out and got some home recording stuff and decided that I really just wanted to work, you know, pick a few people that I really wanted to work with that I've known for a long time, and one of them was Dan Cisnera. Now, like, I know both of us have listened to Cisnera's music forever and really love it, you know, and I thought, well, that's one person I really want to collaborate with, so that's where the whole thing began.
He's a visual artist,
too, isn't he? Dan Cisnera? I don't think that Dan is a visual artist, no.
But you go back, so you've collaborated many times over the years.
Yeah, on and off.
International Religious Exercise, and he's played on your CDs and everything, so it's been an ongoing relationship.
Yeah, we did. The only thing is that we never really got together for a real serious project before. It was always like, well, I'd play on his record, or he'd play on mine. Or like International Religious Exercise, which was improvised, like noise, you know, kind of industrial electronic noise stuff. But we never really sat down to compose an album of songs together before. So I think this is the first time we got serious. And it's kind of cool working with Dan because he works with all those different tunings. And he's really an inspired songwriter. What's weird about Dan is you can tell him, like on a song Everdence, I told him, you know, why don't you write half of a song and then I'll write the other half? And you'd think that usually when you tell someone something like that, usually, you know, it comes out being, you know, like this half-assed thing because they really don't care too much about the song. But he came back with this really inspired piece of music, and it really helped me to write something, and I kind of wrote my part off of his ideas. So it's really a great piece of music.
Is that typically how the relationship was? I mean, did you bring stuff? Did he bring stuff? Or, you know, are there songs that are just yours, or just songs that are his? Or, you know, how did the whole work evolve?
A lot of times, he would bring things, and he usually has his ideas pretty well figured out because he's used to recording at home. So he'd record his stuff at home and bring it to me, and I might add things to it. Or like the longest song on the album, I Pull Up Blue Projector, actually that was a chord progression. He would lay down the chord progression, and I'd add a bunch of electric guitars and keyboards on top of that, and bass and everything else, and then I started writing part of the song from there. And then he'd come back and he'd write some more of the song, and we'd just kind of go back and forth, and eventually the whole thing would come together, you know, over a few months' time. And so we worked in every kind of way, you know. He might have a whole song worked out, and then I would just add parts to it, or I would have a whole song work out and he'd add his parts to it, or we would collaborate. So it really just kind of worked whatever way just seemed to be convenient. And sometimes we would get together and we would just create something on the spot, like one of the songs, Arachnid Apple Mulch, is a good example of a song that was just created right then and there. So,
how long has this process been going on?
It's been about 2 years, and I've noticed that when I'm recording, it seems like it, no matter what, it always takes me about 2 years to finish a record. So, and one thing that's really good about working with Dan, though, is because he is a songwriter, which is really helpful to me because I've been in a lot of projects where I don't have another real good songwriter to work with. And I've noticed I can write about 3 or 4 decent songs for an album, and then it's really nice to have someone else to fall back on, and then this, it combined, you actually have something that's worth, you know, listening to.
What was Cisnara like to work with in a digital domain, since Dan is such an analog kind of a guy? Did you have to, like, twist his arm, or did he feel comfortable singing to a computer, or, you know, what's he like in that environment?
I would say Dan, because he records at home and composes music almost, you know, while he's recording, is much more comfortable with the recording process than almost anybody else I know, because he's used to the fact that he has his ideas and he knows how to flesh them out. He'd come over to my house and he'd really have his stuff. He'd know how to play it. And we wouldn't, you know, some things, you know, you might have to do a number of takes on. But a lot of things, though, he really had a pretty good idea of what he was doing. So he's much more comfortable than the average person would be, I would say, with the recording process.
Even a computer?
Yeah, that doesn't faze him. I think if he had to actually... I think the thing he had trouble with would be actually getting a computer and doing the recording himself, you know, because I'm obviously running the equipment. But as far as being comfortable with recording, I don't think it matters to him what, you know, it's being recorded on.
Yeah, because to him, a microphone, and that's his part. That's, you know, it would be the same whether it was going into a computer or going into a regular.
Yeah, he plugs his guitar.
So
yeah.
It
doesn't faze him at all. Yeah, doesn't. As a matter of fact, I think he likes the fact that we can really pick things apart too on the computer. You know, you have the ability to edit things that you just. It actually, in some ways, could make you much lazier because it's so easy to edit really fine points on a computer that are almost like beyond human person's perception. You know, I did some drum edits on some of Dan Van Schendel's work, not because he made mistakes, but because I decided to lengthen certain sections or whatever, and because you can so fine-tune everything on the computer that you can't even tell, you know, even he couldn't tell where his drums were edited. As a matter of fact, he's very pleased with the edits that I did, so.
What, if anyone... I mean, were you listening to anybody throughout, anybody influencing the direction of the recording, you know, the way the songs are being written, any current events or anything that inspired the subject matter of the songs or anything, or was it just, you know, the way you guys normally go about business, or?
Well, musically, I think we're both getting into the Brazilian stuff a lot, and I think that was probably because, you know, he was a big Stereo Lab guy, and I like the High Llamas, and then the natural progression is to go back and listen to what they were listening to, which was a lot of this Brazilian, I mean, I assume a lot of this Brazilian stuff has those kind of chord progressions and rhythms, which really appealed to me a lot, and to him as well, because he's always doing all these different tunings. So those things were probably the really big influences. And then a lot of it, too, is Cisnera just being Cisnera, you know. I mean, he writes a song, and it's him, and which is what I love. I mean, that's why I want to work with him, because I really, you know, the thing about working with Cisnera for me is, like, I enjoy working on his songs as much as I like working on my own, which is really making quite a statement, you know. Because, I mean, as a musician, I don't know if everyone's this way, but you can be kind of selfish, you know. Just want to work on your own stuff and, you know, just working with someone because they're good at playing your material. But with Dan, it's like I really love and have a passion for playing his songs. And he has some songs on here like At His Cordial Best. That's just really a beautiful piece of music. So it's been really a great experience, you know, working with him and kind of starting that collaboration.
Any thoughts about playing live at all or anything? Or
the only thing we have lined up right now is in June, and it's somewhat tentative, but we're going to probably be playing on the radio on public radio in Denver, I mean actually Boulder, Colorado in June. And then also Jim Molina, the keyboardist, we were working with him preparing to do some live shows, and that was put on hold for a little while, but I think that probably in March we might be able to get back in rehearsal with him, and then that would enable us to do some live shows in the Chicagoland area.
So when's it coming out?
It's about, I would say it's probably about 3 weeks away or so, somewhere around there, because I've got to get the, got to hear the mastered version, and then once that happens, then I can start pressing them. And, so I think it's getting really, really close.
Late February?
I think that's a pretty safe bet. Yeah, that would be about right.
Any other final thoughts or anything?
Well, not at this time, but thanks for...
Political statements?
Political statements. I'll leave those to Cisneri. He likes to do the bush bashing. I'll let him do that.
He does it so well.
Yeah, this is a skill that he has. So, and he's dedicated to it. So.
You know, he sent me a note that he's really excited about the inaugural speech.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a lot of reference.
A lot of new material.
There, you know, so...
A lot of tape manipulation going on there, I'm sure.
I'm sure that we'll hear the results of that.
Oh, absolutely. You can count on it.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.